This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.B. Hilliard.
Amen. We believe God's got a word tonight for us all. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Well, I believe after a couple of nights of this, you know, I shouldn't have to plow tonight. Amen. Everybody say, no plowing tonight. All right. Yes. All right. So our smiling exercise. Look at the person next to you. Smile real big. Show them your pearly whites, your 32s, your 22s, your 10s, whatever you have left or purchased. Amen. Well, let's give Pastor Lewis a good hand clap. She did good, didn't she? She did good. Amen. Let's raise our Bibles. Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
word of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, can y'all hear me all right?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all good? Okay, all right. Well, Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Underline power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now, the correct interpretation of this is God says he will give you the wealth, the power to get wealth, because he made a promise to Abraham that he would do so. Now, out of illumination, people say that he'll give me power to get wealth to help expand the kingdom, but that's not what this passage is saying. He says, just on the basis of the covenant that he made with Abraham, and all of those who are Abraham's seed, and we're Abraham's seed based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, God says he commits to give you the power, the ability, the anointing, and the authority to get wealth. Everybody say ability,
anointing.
And authority,
to acquire
wealth. Amen. Now that's good news. I mean, I grew up in church not knowing this, but when I found it out that God wanted for me what I wanted for me, that was good news. Because I wanted something. Amen, amen. Now folk who say they want to be poor, they must have been poor. I've been poor. And ain't no fun in being poor. Amen. This life is better. I know that's right. Glory to God. Now, when the Lord spoke to me about fresh fire is a really dynamic prophetic word. It was a return to a relationship with the Holy Spirit, repenting from having ignored him. But he let me know how dynamic this message was going to be because he said that in it would be there would be renewed passion for the things of God. Not only passion, but power. Power for healing, power for harvest, power for holiness. And so we're just looking at one aspect of this, and this is the power for your harvest, to harvest what belongs to you. You have to, as a believer, get an attitude about you that it belongs to you. That stuff increase belongs to you.
Yes.
Now it's easy said, but it's not many people say it, but they don't have it down on the inside. And my role this week was to get it down on the inside, help you get this down on the inside you're supposed to have.
Amen.
Supposed to have. You're supposed to have, and you're supposed to have it in abundance. That's the will of God. They didn't tell you that when you were growing up in church, but it's in the Bible. We're going to go through the Bible. We're going to see how many times God talks about you having it. And whatever he did in the Bible, he did it in grand fashion.
Yes.
When he took Peter fishing, he didn't just cause Peter to catch a couple of fish.
Amen.
But the boat was about to sink. He caught so much.
Yes.
And Peter had a bad day. He'd been happy with half a net full. But whatever he does it in grand style. And that's the attitude that you have to have. And here's why. It's because your faith can only manifest what you expect. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if you're hoping for only a little, that's all your faith can produce. Amen. How many know God's able? He got all the power. No shortage in him. But according to my faith, be it unto me. According to your faith, be it unto you. So this message we said early it has several points. First point we made on the first night, where y'all really worked me, was the unshakable promise. We worked on giving you the word of God so that you'd have this unshakable promise. The second night, we dealt with the unlimited power. Began to focus on his power, how unlimited his power is to make this happen, dealing with the anointing, the unlimited power. And we didn't get too far on that, but we'll get a little move on it tonight. And then tonight we want to deal with the unyielding pursuit. The unyielding pursuit. And that means you want it bad enough to go after it. And then on tomorrow morning, we'll deal with uncommon prayers. It was studied uncommon prayers, the prayers when folk was praying for stuff. You know, a lot of people don't like to study those prayers. They say, well, that's just, it's more in the Bible than that. Yeah, we know it's more, but this is in there too. Yes. And me, I want it all. Amen. 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 I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. You got it? And so a lot of folk, they're just happy with just, you know, getting saved and living holy and going to heaven and being broke on the way. That's fine. No, I ain't gonna. I yield your right to be broke. Hey, man, I can tell you, you can get to heaven broke. You can die owing everybody to the point we have to take up a little offering to try to put you in the ground. And you go into heaven. But the rest of us, we ain't gonna go. And they may be crying when they take us out, but when they get in the car and talk, I say, how much he leave you? How much you got? Thank you. Amen. I mean, you know, praise the Lord. But there's a lot of folk crying when Mike died. Yeah. There was a whole lot of folk going, thank you, Lord. Okay. Okay. All right, let me stop. We found out that, come on, y'all quit. The devil will fight you with this. He will fight you. He will fight you with persecution. Got it? And, of course, you know, they persecuted me for a while because that's that prosperity preacher. Yes, I am. I'd rather call him a prosperity preacher than a broke preacher. Yeah, that's the problem. I believe in prosperity. Yeah. That's the helicopter preacher. Yep, that's right. See, because I already know I can't escape persecution. When God called me up the other day, I went to another meeting. He came to the meeting, and after the meeting, he said, man, it's amazing I get a chance to talk to you. He says, I was with a group of people today, and this was some time back now. I was with a group of people, and man, they talking about investigating you. I say, bring it on. No, I mean, you know, you don't live large like I live and think ain't nobody looking. You understand? A lot of folk don't think you can do it right. They think if you're doing something, they think if you're prospering and a preacher, they think you got to be doing it wrong. After we bought the Lakewood Church building from them, we bought that, and we didn't have to sell anything to buy it. That was a radio or television station started an investigation on us because they wondered where we got the money from. So what they did was they started an investigation on the Faith Village, you know, the government thing that we did. And like we had to take some of that money to do what we did. Of course, you never heard anything about it because when they looked, they found all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed. Got it? So in your own life, you're going to be persecuted. You start rising above where your relatives are, rising above where your friends are. You understand? You understand? I mean, they'll come at you. No, you go get you an expensive weave. You know what I'm saying? I want an expensive weave, you understand? But the one that you can't hardly tell. They be the very one looking real close. Now I can see where the... Everybody said, but we are blessed to be a blessing. And that's the purpose of it. God told Abram, I'm going to bless you, but you're blessed to be a blessing. And in you will all the other nations be blessed and other peoples be blessed. So we're blessed to be a blessing. And the thing about it is what the world didn't understand is that when we are wealthy God's way, we understand that we do support the work of God. In fact, the wealthy place traveler, the very first thing, let's go down to Psalm 66. The wealthy place traveler, first thing he said he's going to do is he said, I'm going to church and get some money. Yes, he did. Yeah, that's what he said. First thing he said, I'm going to do. Verse 12 says, come on, quickly now. He says, thou hast caused men to rise over our head, to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water. Thou brought us out into where? What the place. Now let's see what the next thing he said he's going to do. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. He got his wealth, and where did he go? He went to God's house to worship God. So that's why the devil fights you, because he knows if he gets it in your hands, the way you love the Lord, you're going to help finance the kingdom. Amen, amen, amen. Now, we want to look in Acts chapter 10, because we said that the power of God is referenced throughout the scripture in many ways, many synonyms for that power, grace, might, and one of the synonyms is anointings. And the Holy Spirit is God's administrator or agent for the anointing. And he's involved in my prosperity. Oh, yeah, see. Amen. That's the thing. That's the connection with the fresh fire. The one you've been ignoring is the one who can help you prosper. Yes. If you only knew that by talking and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and becoming more acquainted with him, that your whole life would increase. The quality of your life would increase, but your substance would increase. And it says it throughout the Bible. I don't know why you preachers always have to bring money into it. Because it's in the Bible. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So Acts chapter 10, we'll look at the Holy Spirit's involvement in this. Because if you pursue it his way, you won't get tired. If you pursue it his way, it will not corrupt you. If you pursue increase his way. All right, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Everybody say Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost.
And power. Now let's go look at another passage. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Holy Spirit wanted to have an involvement in your life as he had in the life of Jesus. All right. Verse 14 says, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. So with them, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, one of the assignments he had from the Spirit of the Lord was to preach the gospel to the poor. What's good news to the poor? Don't have to be poor anymore. Amen. All right. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a multifaceted power. Amen. It's power to affect my entire life. And don't sell the Holy Ghost short by having him just to affect one part of your life. Verse 8, and ye shall receive power. Everybody say power. Yeah, you receive power. Well, all power or anointing. When the Holy Ghost has come after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So I can see here from the scripture that the Holy Spirit wants to come into my life. He wants to empower my life just as he did the life and ministry of Jesus. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We left off on this last time. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, looking at his involvement in my life because he wants to reveal to me God's plan. He wants to reveal to me God's plan. God has prepared stuff for me. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Amen. All right. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither been into the heart of man, the things. Everybody say things.
Things.
Come on, things. Things. God does not mind me having things.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Good things. God doesn't mind me having things. Come on, let's say that.
God
doesn't mind me having things.
Yeah.
Faith is the substance of
things
hoped for. I guess what's the term of things? Because a lot of people be so spiritual, you understand? So spiritual and so spooky they can't lock in that God doesn't mind me having things.
Amen.
You think God made all the nice cars for the pimps and the prostitutes? Are the hustlers, they the only ones supposed to have nice things? And then you who love the Lord, you his child, you barely get along? Are they the only ones supposed to have mansions? You're not supposed to have one? Amen. You can't have nice shoes. They only can have something nice. Your shoes, you got to watch the water. You can't step in the water because your soul is cardboard. Now see, y'all laughing. I used to be like that. I had some little cheap shoes on. You better not be stepping in the water, walk through water. They'll shrink a size on you. You have to be careful with them. Do you think God made all the good stuff for the sinners?
No.
No, he made them for his children. All right, watch this. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither been into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We all love him, right?
Yes.
I mean, God has prepared some stuff for you. All right. But God hath revealed them unto us. How?
By his Spirit.
That's it. He revealed them unto us by his Spirit, which means now the Holy Spirit wants to let you know what God has for you. Okay, let's put your ribbon here because we're going to come back and finish it. I'm going to show you another passage here. I want you to see how the Holy Spirit has been waiting to get involved.
Amen.
That if you fellowship with him, he will lead you to the best deals. He will get involved in all areas of your life that will cause this increase that's exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. Amen. All right, are you there? In John, Gospel of John, chapter 16. Verse 13. Are you there? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
Yeah.
All right, watch this. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And watch what Jesus says. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's going to take what's mine and show it to you.
Uh-huh.
Then if you're wondering what belongs to Jesus, he said everything the Father has.
Yeah.
So what does the Father have? He says, all the gold is mine, all the silver is mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell, all that belongs to God. Jesus said, that's mine. And the Holy Spirit, he says, he will show you what's mine. Now, you understand? He ain't talking about just saying, nah, 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 see that, see that. No, he will show you how to get it. He will guide you into it. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Want to understand that I don't have to put the Holy Spirit on the shelf when I come into the, when I'm in the pursuit of the abundance. He's my partner in it.
Yes.
Glory be to God. He's right there with me. All right? There it is. All right? Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not fear, not barely get along, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. My God, isn't it exciting that God wants to give you things and that the Holy Spirit will help you? He will guide you into truth. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so with that clear understanding, I need to know, how is he going to do it? Go to Ephesians chapter 3. How is he going to do it? He's going to do it by strengthening me. Everybody say strengthening me, yeah. He's going to strengthen me to execute the principles of increase so that he can justifiably get involved supernaturally to bring it to pass. Amen. All right, verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? According to the power that worketh where? In us. This power working in us, what is it going to do? This power working in us is going to strengthen us. Strengthen me to do what? Strengthen me to practice and to exercise the principles of increase, so that he, the Holy Spirit, can be involved in my life. So he can get involved in my situation. Supernaturally, he's going to bring an anointing on my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, go with me to your Bibles and let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Because the increase does not come apart from faith. And so this is, you know, if you don't hear the message right, you're just not going to speak in tongues and then go out and somebody going, your car going to be in change into a new car. You're speaking in a young shop of all and go out then your car is different, brand new car. No, it's not going to happen. Okay? Speaking in tongues, being filled with the Spirit is not, will not exempt you from tithing.
Amen.
Well, he'll help give you the revelation on it. Oh boy, to get quiet on that one, yeah. No, see, that's people want something quick, fast, and in a hurry. And the scripture is, you know, I used to be a system analyst, and I was trained to think logically and systematic. That is why I love the Bible. So people go talk about, you know, the Bible, you know, contradiction. It doesn't contradict itself. Never, no contradiction in there. You just need to know how to rightly divide it. But everything ties together. Everything matches up. That is what I love about it. Because he said, if I could go over one place and find faith and then go over here and find the Holy Spirit and they never matched up, then that would be confusing. Well, he's using his faith, but he won't use his faith because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, now does the Holy Spirit now exempt me from faith? No, it doesn't. The Holy Spirit doesn't exempt me from having to practice the principles. Yes. But what he does is he strengthens me. See, he's really the teacher tonight.
Yes.
He's the one that opens your spiritual understanding. Yes. Using me as his vessel, but he's the one that brings the heart conviction. That is why you'll hear some things I have said before. But this time, boom, you got it.
Yes.
Well, you can't credit me for it because I said it before.
Yes.
You got it? But this time you were more sensitive to the Spirit of God and you got it. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so watch this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. We'll see the Holy Spirit involved throughout the, all of the scripture. He's involved in all of this. And so we're going to have to use our faith. Everybody say, we must use our faith. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curse everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So I understand my faith is involved. Now, the Holy Spirit's anointing must be properly activated. I understand that he's the agent. Everybody say he's the agent. Yeah, he's the agent and he is the administrator of the anointing. He's also assigned for my abundance. He's assigned to give me abundance. Well, how you say that? Remember, I just read it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, according to the anointing on the inside of us. Amen. Who brings the anointing? Oh, man, y'all kind of slow. Oh, yeah. Lord, help him be fast tonight. Help him be smart tonight, Lord. Amen. Jesus' name. Speak the word over y'all. All right. Now, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And when I see whatever God does, he always does it in an abundant measure. The Holy Spirit is God's agent in the earth. Whatever he does it in an abundant measure. According to my faith. Everybody say, according to my faith, be it unto me. All right, here's what I mean by that. Now, listen. If you have faith, to just ride a bicycle, God will let you. You could have rode a bicycle here tonight. He wouldn't have stopped you. Hey, you could have decided, I'm going to ride a bike. I ain't going to get no car. I don't want to pay no gas. I don't want to pay no gasoline. I'm going to do that. I'm just going to ride. We just start out early. No, God will let you ride a bike up here. He'll let you ride a bike. But if you trust him for a car, he's able to give you a car. Amen. Amen. What I'm saying is, a whole lot of it is up to you. No, seriously, because see, a lot of people live under the misguided thinking that it's up to God. It's up to you. That's why getting the word and strengthening yourself in the word, that's why that's so important, because it's according to your faith. And you can't be upset with anybody else. If they choose to have Mercedes faith and you have bicycle faith, you'll be upset with them. Because God will give you a Mercedes too. And quit saying, I just don't want one. Yeah, you do. You may want one. Don't say that. Right now, you don't have, your faith can't manifest it, but don't go say that. You'll never have that. You know you want it. Second Corinthians chapter 12. It's according to your faith. If I say it's according to my faith. So what makes these messages and these times so important is you're strengthening your faith. Because you've got to activate this anointing. He's assigned to give me abundance. But this anointing, so my life to prosper, has to be activated. Well, how is it activated? It's activated by my proclamations. If I say my proclamations. My proclamations has to have to do with my praise. It has to do with what is spoken prophetically over me. It has to do also with my confessions, my professions of faith. It's activated through my prayers. Through my prayers, I activate, I invite, I invoke the Spirit of God to get involved. The anointing is stirred. It's activated through my planting, through my giving. We saw on last night that the anointing will only be in this anointing, the true riches will only be entrusted to those of us who are faithful. He says, if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, then who'll give you true riches? Yes. See, you want to live with the anointing to prosper on your life. Yes. Yes. No, see, you want to have the anointing on your life to prosper. Yes. Now, prophetically, it's spoken over you, but you must possess it. You must walk in the possession of the anointing to prosper. He says, I'll give you the power to get well. And that's, I'm getting the power and anointing. I'm giving you the anointing to get. It's God who does that. I receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a part of my life now. And that anointing to prosper is on you to the degree that you will release your faith for it. That it will manifest to the degree you release your faith for it. Look at the person that said, I'm anointed to prosper. Now, when they told you that, they said, well, you better release your faith for it. Come and say, release your faith for it. Oh, y'all didn't even say it with no compassion, see? So you got the anointing on you to prosper because he brings that. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, everything he is coming to your life. But it only manifests to the degree that you use your faith for it. See, the tragic thing is I lived as a Christian a long time with the anointing to prosper on me and didn't know it. Because I thought it was God's responsibility. Okay, put your ribbon here. Y'all working me, but that's okay. I feel you. You with me. At least you're thinking with me. I like it that you're thinking with me. Making me work. Prove my point. I ain't no problem. Joshua chapter 1. Making me prove my point. That's all right. That's good. I like that you're with me. Amen. I love this. Yes. So I'm like an attorney now. This is the courtroom of your life. I'm pleading my case. Amen. I've got to provide evidence. Yes. All right, watch this. Joshua 1 and 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. You tell me when it's up to you. That's what it is. It's up to you. So I got to stir a desire in you for more than just one house. Why not two? When God said you can have two. Amen. A better car, so you don't have to be putting riding with a case of oil in the back. You can't leave home without the oil and the jumper cables. I've been there, praise the Lord. But you can have more, you see. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, I got to hurry up because they're working me now and I ain't gotten them a lesson for tonight. All right, praise the Lord. All right, look at verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is, when I realize I can't get where I need to go without him. Hallelujah. I realize. See, I'm not going to try to take credit for where I am because I know who brought me. Are you listening to me? And his grace is sufficient. Now, when we look at this text, Paul was actually dealing with a demonic spirit was attacking him, and he had prayed to God to remove it, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you to do something about it. Amen. And then Paul, after he got to raise, said, wow, I'm glad. You know, he said, now, when I'm weak in the natural, because of the power that rests upon me, then I'm strong. Yes, okay, now you didn't get it that way. When I don't qualify for the job in the natural, because I'm anointed, I qualify. Now you got that, so y'all got to have to break that down till you understand. When my credit is wet in the natural, because of the anointing and the favor that's on my life, somebody will give me a shot. Got it? When everybody's passing up everybody else's beauty salon because they say times are hard. I got a witness back there. When I'm weak, then I'm strong because the anointing that's on my life, they come into my shop. They come in, they want my service. See, I'm relying on the anointing. Oh, yo, I got a good class working here now. See, I'm relying on the anointing. We first came out here to the Greens Point area. There was a big article in the newspaper saying that people in Greens Point were not going to church. My banker showed it to me. He said churches in the Greens Point area 25 years ago, they were closing down. I told my banker, they may be because they all come into mind. See, you got to have that attitude where you're not buying in to all of the weaknesses that are being magnified around you. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And because of the anointing that's on my life, I can boldly say, I'll always have enough. I'll never be broke. My God supplies all my needs, see? I'm not just saying that. I'm convinced of it because I have an anointing on me, and I'm going to release the anointing with the words of my mouth. I'm going to release it in my prayer life. I'm going to sow like I believe it. Amen. So you must have this unyielding pursuit. Gotta have it. Amen. I don't know where you are in your pursuit, but you got to have this fire in the belly. I got to have it. I got to have it. Got to have it. I will have it. I got to have it. I'll eat the best. Live in the best. Drive the best. Go first class in life. See, well, go to Mark chapter 4. I got to help you. Mark chapter 4, because... Yeah, I got some baby Christians in here, and I'm so glad y'all came. No, I'm serious. Some of y'all getting this for the first time. I know some of the veterans, they got it all down. But you know, some of my baby Christians, y'all get it. Y'all won't be hard to convince. Verse 26 says, "So is the kingdom of God." So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep rise, night and day. The seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Underline that. Knoweth not how. Jesus. See, that's the key. You don't have to know how.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to know how. You don't have to know how. Come on, you don't have to know how. See, the reason you've been intimidated by speaking it and releasing the anointing is because you don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to say that then. Then everybody gonna be looking for me to have something new. So I just wait till it come. Then I say, you got to have the boldness to release the anointing, and you release it with the words of your mouth. Or you may look silly for a while. And then come and tell you, well, where your new car? You said you're gonna get a new car. Then you wear your new car. Just tell me, you just keep going to bed and keep getting up. Keep looking in the driveway.
Amen.
See, you understand who promised you this? I'm backing down. God promised it. God promised it. I ain't got to back down. And see, the car don't make me no way. I'm who I am, man of value and worth without the car. So I'm not intimidated because I don't have a car. Car's on its way. Job's on its way. It's on its way. But you got to have the boldness not to be intimidated, so you can release it by the words of your mouth. You have to say it.
Yes.
And when in the beginning, you don't have to know how. That's the beauty. That takes all the pressure. All the pressure is off. I don't know how. You still believing for 50,000? Mm-hmm. Yeah, going to happen too. How'd it come? Don't know. I don't have to know how. All I got to do is be bold enough to say it.
Yes.
And now I said it by looking for it.
Yes.
And I got some folks who say, well, you know, if he said it's going to happen, right? Yes. Praise the Lord, they're in agreement.
Yes.
I didn't ask me to believe for 50,000. I was happy with what we have. God said believe 50,000. Well, I understand only what's going to happen if I have to say it. So I put myself out there, 50,000. And they coming. I see it. I see, I don't think God would give me all these rooms, all these buildings with all these chairs in it. Something up. Y'all don't understand. Something is up. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. All right, now. So I must have this unyielding. Everybody say unyielding pursuit. Yeah, unyielding pursuit. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. So even though many believers understand the will of God to prosper them, to bless them materially, they come up short because they don't have the stamina and strength of character to fight the fight to get it. So this whole message is about diligence and passion for the things of God. And so we'll be filled to the level of our hunger and our thirst. You didn't get that. You will be filled to the level of your hunger and thirst. Watch this. Your faith produces what you require, not what you desire, and not what you admire. But whatever you require, that's what your faith produces. You're living in what you require. You're driving what you require. Until the desire becomes a requirement, it is not strong enough to anchor your faith. Amen, amen. You've seen things in your life improve when you required them. Once it became a requirement, it's amazing that your faith will produce it. See, so you have to require. You got to require some stuff. I require certain stuff. Amen. I require excellence. Required. I require. Amen. Everybody say, my faith will produce what I require. All right. Amen. All right. Now, 1 Samuel. Chapter 30. That's where I told you to go. All right, now watch this. Let's look at verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we'll look at verse 8 because we're in this passionate pursuit now. All right. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? And what had happened was David's and his men had gone off, and they got back to camp, and the enemy had come and taken everything that they had. I mean, they took everything that they had. I'll start at verse 1. Let me back up. And it came to pass that when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives and that were therein. And they slew not anyone, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. I can't call them girls' names, all right? All right, let's don't get into two wives. You can't have but one now, okay? All right, verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughter. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abathar brought thither the ephod to David. And he cried at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Some of y'all got that. Some of y'all heard that for you. You heard that for yourself. Now, It is clear in the Word of God what you can have. Do you have the stamina to pursue it? It's clear that God wants you to have it. I don't think anybody can argue with that. We can show you scriptures all day long what he wants you to have. Remember last night we said that what causes us to wane in our pursuit is that iniquity factor. We heard too much junk growing up about being broke and poor and how they almost demonize rich. Who was not here on last night? Wasn't here last night. All right, talk to somebody next to you. The Bible says the children's teeth were set on edge by what they heard from their fathers. So we were corrupted about prosperity, even in the church, because what we saw the previous generation do. I mean, they thought they was giving a lot of money when they gave $5. I mean, they had a little table set out here. I'm going to start this off and off with $5. They go, amen. Come on now. And so we grew up being fathered and parented, me told my mama, by God robbers. And folk who talk down the church. And then it's hard for us to believe God wants us to prosper because what gets to me first becomes truth to me, even if it's a lie. And that iniquity, it's easier for me, because of iniquity is an inherited trait, to yield to temptation in a certain area. And so it's easier for me, because of what I've heard, not to believe this. But Jesus was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquity. Bruised, the shedding of blood. Because under the old covenant, in order to eradicate iniquity, blood had to be shed. So when he was beaten, he was bruised for my iniquity. His blood eradicates that iniquity. His blood covers me. His blood wipes that out. Now watch this. You and I now can be the cause of a generational blessing coming down on our children because we obey God. As he honored, as God chastised those who dishonored him. From generation to generation, he will bless those who will honor him generation after generation. The pursuit is difficult because of what we understand. I call it institutional prosperity. Everybody say institutional prosperity. How long is my tape tonight? I need to go over just a little bit tonight. I still got some time, but I might need to go over just a little bit. Can y'all, this Friday night, let me go over just a little bit. Okay, I ain't gonna go over long, but I just wanna go over a little bit because I got to get this part down. See, a lot of folk are intimidated by ever thinking they can have because of institutional prosperity. What you mean? How this world system is set up against you. And if you seen the system, the system look hard to break. Psalms 37. So it's hard to walk with a swagger when you think you can't make it. I'm telling you, it's hard to walk with a swagger. And look like the only ones that's making is the evildoers. Yeah, that's right. Amen. But see, when I know what I know, institutional prosperity don't bother me. You can't tell me I can't have. All right, look at verse 34. It says, what I tell you, Psalms what? Okay, verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself as a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him and could not find, and he could not be found. See, it's what I know. I know it looks like it's big and bad, institutional prosperity. That's got what your credit score ain't big enough. You don't have that. You don't have this. You got it? It almost seems like it's set against you. But the anointing on us. Everybody say the anointing. See, when I'm anointed, I expect these seven things. Number one, anointing attracts finances. Number two, anointing accelerates favor. Number three, anointing gives me the ability to function at a level I've not been trained in. Number four, anointing abolishes fear. Number five, anointing allows fulfillment. In other words, I'm fulfilled on my way to my wealthy place. Because, see, the revelation I have from the Holy Spirit keeps me from allowing my stuff to define who I am. See, the reason folk go over the deep end on their way and get all stressed out and depressed and all that kind of stuff is because they're letting stuff define who they are. The reason people cannot wait and do the things the right way is because they have let stuff define them. So if stuff defines me and I can't feel good unless I have certain stuff, then I cannot do the right thing to get the stuff. I'll compromise. I'll sleep with the boss to get the raise. Hallelujah. You follow me? But see, the Holy Spirit keeps me where I know my worth and value. And I can wait if I need to. Now, I told y'all about Rolls Royce years ago. One of my banker's friends of mine had repossessed a Rolls Royce in the 80s from an oil guy and called me up and said, "Ira, I got to get this off the books. The examiners are coming. And what I want to do is I'll make this thing work for you. Whatever I need to do, I'll make it work for you. I know you've been wanting a Rolls Royce. I'll make it work for you." Man, I saw myself riding when that roll. By all them preachers that say I wasn't going to make it.
Come on, God.
You know, my generation, we had to lean, you understand? So I can see myself riding by their churches, you understand? Hey, God. The Holy Ghost said, "You can't have it. You can't have it because you want it for the wrong reason." And because of my relationship with him, I heard him clearly. And I told my banker, I said, "Man, I sure want it, but I can't have it now." He said, "What you mean you can't have it?" I said, "I want it for the wrong reason. The Spirit of God won't release me to have it. I can't have it." He was keeping me from defining my worth and value by stuff I had. Y'all listening to me? He gives us richly all things to enjoy. He don't mind you having it so you can enjoy it yourself. He doesn't mind you having it so you can enjoy it, but he don't want you to have it so you can try to taunt others with it. You know, now, you know, I got my own Rolls Royce. Church bought me one, and praise the Lord, and then I gave that one away. And then I bought my wife a Bentley, and I bought me a Rolls. I bought it. Amen. Got it? Bought it for my own enjoyment, you understand? I don't care who see me. In fact, I ain't looking at nobody looking at me. That's their business. I'm trying to get where I got to go. You understand? And, you know, people be driving by me blowing the hump. Oh, yeah, here it is. You know, got it? Hey, fine. But it don't matter whether he see me or not. I'm just, it's what I wanted. Amen. The anointing aligns forces to help you. Everybody say forces. Both natural forces and spiritual forces, it aligns them up to help. You'll be amazed how God starts setting things up, putting things in place. The anointing abounds my faith. It caused my faith to go to another level. I should have been seven, right? Y'all got seven? You didn't get seven? Go get the tape. Get the CD. That's seven. That's seven. That's seven. All right, watch this. So see, the anointing is my ability to operate. See, that's what I'm trying to get you focused on. You've been given the power to get it. You've got to realize that you have the anointing of God on your life, and that anointing causes you to function at a whole nother level. So your expectation, you've got the right to expect more. Not based on your education, not based on this society, what it says, but based on your relationship with God and the anointing that's on your life. He will lead you into increase. Everybody say, he's leading me into increase. Now, when you know the truth about institutional prosperity, you understand that they are just caretakers of what's ours. Everybody say they're caretakers of what belongs to us. All right. Watch this. Go with me in Bibles now. Let's look at Proverbs 28. They're just caretakers. That's my stuff. Yes, they are. Yeah, it's my stuff. That is mine. Yes, it is. They're just holding it for me. Because the Bible, God already declared what's going to happen. Yeah. All right, watch this. Verse 28, it says, he that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will have that will pity the poor. Uh-huh. God said, that folk gathering stuff up for you. Yeah. They don't know it's going to eventually come into your hand, but they build in the house and will lose it. Yeah. And you'll get it at half the price.
Yeah.
Proverbs 13. Amen. I know, but this institutional prosperity, that's holding my stuff. That's all it is. Verse 22, a good man leaveth inheritance for his children, and the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Amplified says that the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous, for whom it was laid up. They're laying it up for me. I don't mind them having it for a little while. Amen. go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Institutional prosperity don't bother me. Yeah, they got it now. But I know what the Lord said. The Lord said, well, by the word of God says, it's being transferred. Amen. It says, verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Sound like some of those things the Holy Spirit bring into my life, don't it? Okay, all right. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give it to him that is good before God. Oh, you listening to me? I should have worn my watch tonight. I got a platinum watch. Serious. That baby's serious. It's got platinum, and it's got rubies on it, and diamonds. It's serious. It's serious. So I can't hardly wear it when I preach because people be looking at it. Now I tell you how I got that. I was in a jewelry store one day, and this guy he was a big famous guy, but he was going through hard times. And his house note was due, and he had to sell this watch he had bought. It was brand new. He bought it, paid for it. But when it came to the jewelry store, he told the guy, I need to sell it. I need to get what I can out of it. So I looked at it. But I didn't need my watch. I got a watch. So I offered what I wanted to pay for. Maybe a fifth of the price. Brand new. A fifth of the price. He said, no. I said, okay, fine. I ain't that excited. I mean, it's a nice watch. So he wanted to talk to me on the phone. I said, I want to talk to him. No, what he bought was laid up for me. He didn't know it. So I just told the jeweler, you tell him that his house note, because he needs his house note paid. You tell him his house note is going to catch a plane tomorrow at 10. 9 o'clock that next morning, I got a call from a jeweler. Said he said he'll take the deal. Everybody say they working for us. We are going to get that stuff because God prophesied it. Isaiah 45. I'm not afraid of institutional prosperity. They driving the big stuff, having all the big stuff. That's all right. It's coming to me.
It's coming to me.
I mean, you go driving one of them big neighborhoods, all them big nice houses, where they used to tell you couldn't stay. They build them. Okay, you're going to build it up. Yeah, go on. That's right. Build it. What did I tell y'all to go? No, don't go to Isaiah 45. Go to Job 27. Go to Job 27. Job 27. See, that's my confidence. I believe. I believe I'm supposed to have that stuff. I really do. I really do. I really do. And I'm not going to pay what they pay for. I'm going to get it at incredible discounts. All right. Job 27, are you there? Verse 16. Though he heap up silver as dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. I'm telling you that the Lord said, they out there got it, but it's ours. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You need another witness? Zechariah chapter 14. It's been prophesied. I'm getting it. Hallelujah. That's right. When the rich man starts crying and when they start losing stuff, I'm the prime candidate. God will position me to get that stuff. Everybody say, I want that stuff. All right. Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah, I want to do that. All right. Zechariah, what, 14? All right. Now watch this. Let's watch this. Let's see if we can't can get this real quickly. All right. It says. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day, that great day of tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Everybody saying great abundance. Here again was a prophesy of wealth being transferred. See, it's all throughout the Bible. So many cases where the Bible talks about wealth being transferred. Everybody say wealth being transferred.
Wealth being transferred.
Now go with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 60. I'm not intimidated. Everybody say, not intimidated. Because it's that stuff coming to me. Yes, it is. It's coming to me. That's right. All right, verse 1. Arise, shine. Everybody say, arise.
Arise.
Shine.
Shine.
That sounds like something that somebody would tell you when you're getting up out of bed.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that the alarm clock says. When you hear the alarm clock, it's not saying it literally, but that's what it means. Arise, get up. Right, watch this. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about. roundabout. And see, all they gather together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together. And thine heart shall fear or be reverent and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. And the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now, if you got a little reference Bible, then you have a little letter by the word forces. You have that? Yes. Now, if you look over in your margin of wherever it's referenced, what does that word say?
Wealth.
See, this is a prophetic, this is a prophecy that says there coming a time. Now, you got to be alert now so you'll watch it. So you'll be able to get that time. You'll be able to know when that time is.
Yes.
It'll be a time when everybody else is in confusion. Everybody else, gross darkness will cover the earth. But we, because we are the children of light, and because we understand the word of God, and we understand what time is it. We understand it's wealth transfer time. The Bible says, watch this, this is what's going to happen. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear or be reverent to God and be enlarged because the abundance of the sea. That word sea there is a metaphor for multitudes of people. Their abundance shall be converted, transferred to you, and the forces or the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now, when is this time? Go to Isaiah 61. When is this time? Let's see if we qualify for this time, Isaiah 61. Now, here is Jesus preaching this sermon when he comes to introduce our time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, verse 1, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, good tidings to the meek, and he has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint of them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the righteousness, they could be called trees of righteousness, and the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Underline, trees of righteousness. Aren't we called the righteousness of God?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Verse 4. Then they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolation. They shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. The stranger shall stand and feed your flocks, and the children of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of our Lord. Wow. Doesn't that sound like us? And men shall call you the ministers of our God. Isn't that us?
Yes.
Aren't we the royal priesthood?
Yes.
Aren't we the holy nation?
Yes.
Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles.
Yes.
And their glory shall ye boast yourself. What do you mean, their glory? See the word glory, understand that word glory has a multiple meaning in the Bible. Sometimes that word glory has to do with the manifested presence of God. Other times it has to do with manifested stuff. When the Bible first mentions glory, it's talking about how Jacob had glory. It's talking about his stuff.
Yes. Yes.
This scripture says, watch this real closely now, and their glory. Whose glory? The stuff of the Gentiles. Shall you boast yourself? You're going to have it. You didn't get that. You did not get that. All the stuff, the hoes and the pimps, and oh, I just said it like that. And the hustlers. All the nice stuff folk used to have that everybody used to sit back and admire. He said, no. You are the generation that's supposed to have that. The stuff they had and you admired, you're the one that's going to be driving and leaning. Okay. The problem we said was iniquity, problem was institutional prosperity, and the problem is inconsistent performance. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Everybody say inconsistency. Yeah, a lot of people start and they stop. You got to be so persuaded you never start. You never stop. Everybody say never stop. See, this pursuit is something that I cannot stop at. God said you'll recover all, but you can't stop. You got to go after it. Amen. Everybody say can't stop. No. Cannot stop. I believe it. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to back up. Not for one second. I am not backing up. I am not backing off of this promise. I don't care who laugh at me. I don't care who makes fun of me. You make fun of me now, but soon you're going to be following me to my church. Amen, amen. Galatians chapter 6. Hallelujah. All right. Look there with me in verse 9. Are there? Let us not be. Weary. Come on, class. Weary in.
Well,
for in. You shall.
Reap.
If you.
Thank God.
Come on, look at the person and say, I ain't quit. I ain't quit.
I
ain't quit. Not giving up. I got turned down for a house 20 times. 20 times they told me no. Mortgage company told me no. 20 times. I believe my yes was out there. I wanted to live in a certain neighborhood, in a certain house, certain square footage. And I wasn't going to stop till I got it. 20 times. No. And then I didn't get belligerent with the folk when they told me no. You understand? Cuss them out and that kind of stuff. Can't be doing that. Credit. You told me the other day somebody cussed them was just almost crazy with them because they turned them down. Now y'all know the credit union. We got to go by the law. You know what I'm saying? Your credit's so whack, nobody gonna lend you nothing. You understand? Everybody else, then you won't get mad at us because we won't lend you. And you ain't paid nobody. We know if we lend it to you, we're gonna lose our money and the member. Now, if you just get mad and leave, we lost the money. Remember, we didn't lose the money, too. Now, I told y'all in the beginning, the credit union, we have to, now we're going to work with you. And Precious Harlene, she's so sweet, you understand? She's going to work with you any kind of way she can. But we have laws. I mean, that's a legal institution there. They come and check our books and all that kind of stuff. You got it? Now, praise the Lord. We have some leverage, you understand? And she does. But then, you know, if you just, won't nobody lend you nothing. You ain't paid nobody. Nobody. I said, you ain't paid nobody. They pull your credit and then everything. Decline. You just got declined yesterday. So you paid, you got declined. I got turned down 20 times. But see, I wasn't turned down because I had whack credit. I was turned down on simple stuff because they didn't like my they didn't like that I was a pastor. They didn't like how pastors got their income. All of them had their little quirks. Then some of them were, kind of a little jealous. That's, I don't believe a preacher need to live in a house like that. Well, I didn't ask you for no counsel. I asked you for some money. Keep your comments to yourself. You understand? So there was some prejudice there, but that's okay. My pursuit didn't wane. Are you listening to me? And so, I mean, I had 20 no's. And I finally got a yes. The condition of the yes was that I had to have a certain amount of money when I closed. That's the money I was saving for when I was over there at the Lakewood Church with Dr. Price's crusade. Now, I done had 20 no's. I finally got a yes. I'm saving my money. And now the Holy Ghost said, sow a seed. Oh, come on now. Come on now.
Sow a seed.
But now remember what he does. He is the one who comes to strengthen me, to direct me and to guide me so that he can justifiably come and show up with supernatural stuff in my life.
Thank God.
Now I'm wrestling with that day. I'm wrestling now because I know I've been turned down 20 times.
Yes.
I'm in hot pursuit of something. I already sold for my house.
Yes.
I already sold for my yes.
Yes.
Now in the middle of all that, he's saying, soul. But I sold. You know, after Dr. B helped me. And anointing came on my life. Supernaturally, from that day to this day, I attract money. Money attraction came on me that night. Folks start walking up to me, getting me money. And they haven't stopped. And that's since 1990. Since 1990 to this day. And then one time I just thought it was just preachers. And the Lord said, I'll show you. I'm sitting up in the restaurant. I mean, I don't even know these people in there. And this guy over there, he comes to my table. In fact, the maitre d' thought he was bothering me. He kind of stood there by him, you understand? And this guy said, man, I just see something all over you. He says, I'm just led to give you something. So he took off his big old diamond ring. I don't even know this dude. I'm in the restaurant trying to eat my food. He takes off this big old diamond ring and says, can I give this to you? You most certainly can. So then he said, you're a preacher or something like that? I said, yes, I am. He said, would you pray for me? I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. Would you pray now? I said, yes, I will. In the name of Jesus. Turn that restaurant into a church right now. Bless God. Anybody else got it? No. Everybody say, I must have an unyielding pursuit. I must pursue through my work performance.
I must pursue through
warfare prayer. I must pursue through wise procurement. I must pursue through warfare planting. I must pursue with all my might. Amen, amen. Y'all all right? I just asked, y'all say me take my time, but I'm going to have to stop. Okay. All right, come on. Okay. Let's do this. I don't want to keep y'all here. Now y'all got to come to prayer in the morning. Y'all come to prayer in the morning? Y'all ain't going to fool me now, huh? Okay.